The blast rocked the house on its foundation, imploding the windows. I covered my face with my arms and dove onto my mattress as tiny shards of glass pricked my skin and sprinkled through my hair. A loud rumble washed over me, almost deafening. I didn't dare raise my head, but when the shaking subsided a minute later, I peeked between my arms. What in the world is that? Pictures had fallen and now lay broken on my carpet. The wall shelf dangled by one hook and swung side to side like a pendulum, with all my trophies and souvenirs lying scattered below. My desk chair had tumbled over, and large snowflakes flittered in through the broken windows to melt to death on my warm floor. My curtains danced with the winter breeze. Dad came to a skidding halt at my open door, his hands gripping the frame.
"You okay?"
Unsure, I took a moment to examine the cuts on my arms and legs, mostly scratches, nothing serious, before nodding.
"Then grab your bag, Tess. Grab it now."
"What's going on? What was that?"
"Just do it."
He disappeared down the hall. Maybe I didn't need to know what was happening, or maybe he didn't know either, but either way, being told to grab my 72-hour kit was enough. I wasted no time sliding to my knees next to my bed and reaching underneath to pull out the emergency duffel bag. Clothes, toiletries, blanket, MREs, my own compact Smith & Wesson I'd been given almost 7 years ago for my 10th birthday, a gift I remembered being quite pissed about. I'd wanted an American Girl doll and was given a gun instead. Every little girl's dream. I tugged my winter boots over my bare feet and threw a jacket over my nightgown just as Dad stopped in front of my door again. Instead of looking at me, he stared off down the hallway, looking both ways, then waved me toward him.
"Let's go!"
I hitched my bag onto my shoulders, but a tiny meow stopped me before I took Dad's outstretched hand. The orange and white ball of fluff trembled in the corner of my closet amid the large pile of dirty laundry I kept swearing I'd wash, but never seemed to get around to.
"Come here, Callie! Come here, girl!"
"Leave her, we've got to go!"
Dad still wouldn't look at me. I took a step toward the closet, ignoring him.
"Come on, Callie, it's okay. Come on now."
"Leave the damn cat. We don't have time for this."
"She's scared. I can't leave her."
How could I leave her to fend for herself when she could hardly remember to use the litter box on her own? Dad released his breath and pushed me aside, then reached for the 4-month-old kitten and grabbed her by the scruff of her neck. He shoved her into my arms as she fought against his rough hands, squirming to get away.
"Can we go now?"
I nodded, and he slipped his own bag onto his shoulder and darted down the hall. I wrapped my coat around my terrified cat, doing my best to ignore her frantic clawing as she wriggled around, seeming to find safety in the pit of my arm, a very sensitive place to keep a cat. Dad had already taken off for the front of the house, but when I stepped into the hallway, my breath caught in my throat and my feet rooted me in place. Down the far end of the hall, the outside wall lay in a crumbled mess, covering Dad's bed in sheetrock and aluminum siding. Snow blew in through the giant hole and dusted his overturned dresser. The ceiling lamp dangled from an electrical cord.
"Tess!"
I found my feet, turned in the opposite direction away from the destruction, and followed after his voice. Most of the windows in the living room and kitchen were shattered, and my boots crunched the glass into the wooden floor as I passed. The microwave had fallen from the counter and crashed onto the dishes and food that had been dumped from the cupboards. Family pictures had slipped from their nails. Mom's treasured curio cabinet, with all the knick-knacks she'd collected before her death, lay face down, bits of broken ceramics and blown glass figures mixed together. I fought the urge to write the curio and save what I could, save her memories, but Dad called me to follow him. He climbed out the sliding door toward the backyard.
"Wash yourself!"
I angled my body sideways and avoided the jagged edges. I'd barely stepped onto the patio when he grabbed my hand and yanked me across the snow-covered grass. Callie dug her claws into my side and hung onto my ribs. A yelp escaped my lips, but Dad didn't stop dragging me away from the house, and Callie adjusted herself again, her sharp nails tearing even further into my cold flesh. Maybe trying to save her had been a huge mistake. Another boom caused the ground to tremble, and I nearly lost my footing, but Dad held me upright and dragged me after him. Dark clouds mushroomed a few blocks away and rose into the sky. The crackling of fire and the smell of smoke rattled my senses as wisps of snow twirled around me, licking my lashes and stinging my eyes. Gray ash mixed with the falling snow. He didn't have to tell me where we were headed. When he knelt over the square metal door, partially hidden by shrubs and wild trees, a great sense of gratitude flooded over me for my doomsday father and his insane need to prepare for every possible end-of-the-world disaster. Only now, he didn't seem so insane.